Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
It's very bright in here. Very bright in here. Well, the reason that it's so bright in here is because we got new lights. And so all the lights are new over your head, and you can look up and see how pretty they are. But anyway, I want to thank David Ochoa for those. He donated all of these. They're all brand new LED lights. And so he owns his own electrical company, just FYI, if you ever need electric done. And then I want to thank Tom Barley. He's also an electrician. He came in and installed them all on Friday. And so they look great, don't they? But they are very bright. They're very bright. But that's all right. Amen? Isn't God good? Now listen, if you're new to BBC and you're like, man, what is going on? Don't they have a plan? Of course we have a plan. You know, of course we have a plan. You know, every Sunday, Pastor Scott writes out a plan, and it has how long we do this and what we do. But we can't let that plan rule us. We want to be moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So if the Holy Ghost says sit in God's presence and sing a song again and remind people of the power of repentance and forgiveness, then that's what we're going to do. Amen. Because we want to be moved by the Lord. What he has planned is far greater than anything we have planned. Amen. And so if you're here today and maybe you're like, oh, this is new to me. You know, sometimes we need to let go of our plan and just say, Lord, I'm just going to flow with you. Amen. And when God directs our paths and we pray about the plan and we pray about service and we pray what songs to sing. We do all of that. But sometimes there's somebody that just need, lots of us that just need to say, hey, you know what? Let's just hit a pause for a second. And let's just flow. And let's just spend some time. Because how many know life is so busy? And as soon as you get home, usually the TV comes on or the radio, not radio, but you're playing music on something or, you know, people are talking or stuff is going on. You got dishes in the sink. You got laundry to do. You got dogs running around. We don't have the opportunity to just be still, to be still. And it's great to be still with one another. Amen. It's good. You know, I love to hear all of you sing. When we were singing that, you know, one of the things I told you a couple weeks ago, you know, when pastors get together, they talk about pastor things. And one of the things they're saying is that in the churches that people are no longer worshiping. That they're just listening. And you know, and as I was listening to that, I was like, I love to hear all of us sing together. Because that means we're worshiping. Listen, this is not a concert. It's not a performance. We can go to those. But these are praise and worship leaders. They lead us in praise and worship. Amen? But we're participators. And it's so great to hear you sing because it means you're participating in the worship. And when there's nothing like worshiping together. Amen. Oh, it's so powerful. You may think, well, I can't sing. Listen, there's something that God does when all of us sing together. No matter how bad some of us are, we still sound pretty good. Amen. It's like, it's the anointing. You know, the anointing, God can make anybody sound pretty good. Amen. And so I just encourage you, just keep singing. Keep singing. Amen. All right. Well, let's go here. I got a message and obviously, my microphone's not working, so I might bust into a song since I have the microphone like this. I'll spare you all. But we're in part two of our road trip series. Somebody say amen. Amen. I was on a road trip for 1,800 miles, and Jenna's here. Her and her husband went on a big road trip. Road trips are great, but we can learn a lot from a road trip because a road trip is a lot like life. And all of us are on a journey. We're going somewhere. God has things for us. Every day is an adventure. Every day is part of our journey. And at the end of our lives, all of us, because that's something we all share in common, we will all come to the end of our life. And at the end of our life, we want to hear when we get before the throne of God, which we all will, we want to hear, well done. Amen. We want to hear well done. I don't want to get to heaven and the Lord say, man, there, you know, I had so much more for you. I had so much more for you to do, so much more for you to experience, so much more for you to have. I don't want that. Those would be just piercing words. God has a plan for us. He's got a plan for our life, and we're on that journey. You know, I have a sign in my office, and it says, life is now in session. Sometimes we're waiting for something, but you know what? Life's in session. Every day that goes by is another day of our journey. And God has a plan, and we want to make sure we're on that plan. And so we're talking about road trips, and last week we talked about it. And you know, when we're talking about here, when we're thinking about, you know, we've got somewhere to be, but God wants to take us. He loves us right where we are. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. God loves you in spite of you. Amen. God loves you no matter what. You know, God loves all people. Amen. But God doesn't love what all people do. How many figured that out? And it's not because God is angry or God's like this. No, because God is the perfect Father. And the perfect Father wants the best for His children. And so God wants to take us from where we are, and He wants to take us to where He wants us to be. And some people are like, oh, that's control. No, God's plan for us is the best plan. The Bible says in Psalms, it says that God will lead you on the best plan for your life. Not the mediocre plan, not the just existing plan, not the just getting by plan. God will lead you on the best plan. It's going to be the plan of fulfillment. It's going to be that plan where you can go to sleep at night and feel like, man, I am living. How many want that? That's what God wants for you. And you know, one thing that I said last week that was so good, and what made it so good is, you know, a lot of times when, and if you've ever, you know, ministered or anything like that, you know that sometimes the Holy Ghost just moves through you and you're just saying things. You're like, man, that is so good. Because it doesn't mean it's the Holy Ghost. But you know, one of the things that happened on our trip is we ran into these people, and if you don't know, we were on a big motorcycle trip, and we ran into these people in San Simeon, California, which is a beautiful place, and they were talking to us, and so we were talking to them, and the guy was telling us about this road. He said, this road isn't even on the map. Wasn't even on the map. You go through a military base, and it's the most beautiful road. He goes, but it's not on the map, but it will take you right to the Pacific Coast Highway. Right to it. And out of everywhere we went on the trip, my brother and I were talking. We both said, you know, that was my favorite road. Because it took us through mountains. It took us through a forest. It took us through a military base, which was cool. It took us all these places. And at one point, we're going, and we're literally in the clouds. We're so high up. I mean, you're looking like clouds are right here with you. I mean, that's cool. And especially if you're on a motorcycle, it's even cooler, right? We're in the clouds. And then we come around, and we're going through, and we come around this one corner, and there's this beautiful, gigantic redwood tree. I mean, it was just stunning. The map's not even on the road. Not even on the road. And then as we came out, and boom, right there was the Pacific Coast Highway. It was the most beautiful road. But the amazing thing about it is that road is like our life. We didn't even know that road existed. We had no idea how to get there. Didn't even know it was there. But God connected us to the right people to get the right information at the right time. And we followed it. And God took us somewhere we didn't even know was on the map. And you know what? God will do that in your life. God will do that in your life. I was talking to a young girl. She's 23. She was sitting in my office, and we were talking. And I told her, I said, listen, I said, I remember the day that I walked across the stage and graduated. I remember that day. And I go to lots of graduations. It's part of my job. But I love graduations. I never, ever tire of them. Never. Because it's like a moment in someone's life that a new chapter is starting. But I remember walking across the stage when I graduated and having all these plans in my mind of what my life was going to look like, of what my journey was going to be. what my road trip of life would be. And do you know I haven't taken any of those roads? I didn't even know this road existed. I didn't even know this road was available. I had no idea how to get here, had no idea I would ever be here, but I tell you, it's a beautiful road. None of the plans that I thought came to pass. But you know what? I'm thankful because God had something better. Amen? If you'll get close to God, He'll get close to you. And when you're close to Him and His word is in you and His way is more important than any other way and His kingdom, those are the principles you make a choice to live by, God will lead you on roads you didn't even know existed. And they'll be the most beautiful roads. And they'll take you right where you want to be. That's God. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of His word. But we gotta get close to Jesus. Amen? And so, you know, today we're gonna talk about, you know, when you're on a road trip, there's lots of reasons to stop. Lots of reasons to stop. And some are good. There are good reasons to stop. You know, one reason we stop is we need gas. How many know you can't just drive your car forever? Even if it's electric, you gotta plug it in, you gotta fill it up, you gotta do something. We're like that too. So to get gas, another reason is to rest. You gotta rest. We're gonna talk about each of these stops today, how important they are. Because life is a journey. You know, and some people are like, life's a marathon, not a sprint. And then I heard somebody say, life's not a marathon, it's a relay. But the key is, life is long. Life is long. And so you gotta make sure that you rest. Another reason that we stop on a journey is to pick somebody up and to drop somebody off. And sometimes you need to make a stop and say, you're out. You're out. Another reason why we stop along a journey is to enjoy the view, to enjoy what God has provided for us. We stop along the journey because we meet up with someone and God has a plan for them. We have what they need. We stop to pray for people. We stop to minister to them. Another reason why we stop along the journey is to check our map. When you're on the journey, you gotta stop. Sometimes you gotta check the map. Make sure you're still heading in the right direction. Isn't that good? Because if you don't check the map, and you just stay on a road, and you think you're on the right road, you can wind up somewhere you totally don't want to be. So we gotta check the map. And so we're gonna just look at our stops today. How many would take some pit stops? Right? And I got a few pictures. First thing is a fuel stop. So I got a picture of a fuel stop. That's my dad taking a fuel stop. How many like that little mask he's got on? Right? Now, somebody asked me, they're like, why are you guys wearing those? Listen, when you're going 80 miles an hour down the highway on a motorcycle, there are bugs. You don't want them in your teeth, right? Plus, it's cold. It's cold out. It was only like, well, it's either really, really hot or it's really cold. And so you have them for protection and you have a little bit of fun with them. But, you know, we need fuel for life. We need that. You need to eat naturally and you need to eat spiritually. And here's what I want us and I'm just going to touch on this because I want to spark your interest or I want to remind you of how powerful it is. The Bible says that when we pray in the Holy Ghost, when you pray in tongues, when you do that, the Bible says that you undergird yourself. And if that makes you uncomfortable, you're like, oh, I didn't know this was a tongue-talking church. Well, now you do, right? Now you do. But here's the thing. Don't shy away from something because you have questions about it. Don't shy away from something because it doesn't make sense to your natural mind. If God said it, at least give God the honor to look at it. Don't just be like, oh, it's not for me. I don't get it. I've heard people say, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Listen, there's a lot of things about God I may not understand, I may not get, but if God said it, I'm going to do it. Amen? Because I don't want a God that I understand completely, that I can figure out. I want a God who's bigger than my brain. How about you? My brain can only go so far. Yours might go less. Yours might go further. I don't know. But your brain can only go so far, and if you only are going to say, I'm only going to do the things that fit in my brain. Well, you're going to limit yourself. And you're going to limit God's ability to move through you. Praying in the Holy Ghost is powerful. It is an amazing gift that God has given us. And it's so sad that so many people, believers, are not into it. And you say, well, it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense to your natural mind. It's, you ready? You ready for some big truth? It's supernatural. It's not supposed to make sense to your natural mind because it's supernatural. Well, I don't know about you, but I need some super on my natural. Amen. I need some supernatural help. And that's praying in the Holy Ghost. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, my spirit man connects with the Spirit of God. And I pray, the Bible says I pray mysteries. That means I don't understand what I'm saying. Because here's why I don't understand it. Because it bypasses my brain. It bypasses my brain. It's like this. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying God's perfect will, which I don't even know most of the time. Have you ever had a situation you're like, man, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I'll tell you a situation like that. The immigration situation. Everybody thinks they have the answers, but no answers are working. We need a supernatural solution. There's so many issues in our nation where everybody's where this answer and this answer are coming. But when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we pray God's perfect will. We pray God's knowledge, not just our own. And I connect with God. And I pray in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in me. My spirit man connects with the Holy Ghost. And I pray and it comes from my spirit, which is in the belly of a man. It doesn't come from your brain. Because your brain only knows what your brain knows. And so when I pray, it's like this. It's like the prayer comes up and it just goes, boop, and goes right to God. That's why it's so powerful. God knew that given our own abilities, we would be limited. We would be limited. Given our own knowledge, and if that's all we had, we would be limited. So God said, I'm going to give you a gift that takes the limits off of you. I'm going to give you the ability to pray that takes the limits off of you. You won't understand it with your natural mind because your natural mind will limit you. How many have ever had our minds talk us out of something? How many have ever stepped out in faith and your brain is saying, you don't have enough money, you don't have enough ability, you're not the right person, but God's saying, go. Go. That's the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Jude, chapter 1, verse number 20, there's only one chapter there. Put that verse up here. That's us. I took that picture. You got it? Yeah, okay. It says, but you, beloved, who's he talking to? He's talking to us. We're believers. Amen. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Feeling weak, feeling like life, like the journey's just too long, feeling like you don't have answers to questions you need. The Bible says you can build yourself up. And we can look at it, you can fuel yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And listen, I was raised in a denominational church where they literally, not even joking around, literally said praying in the Holy Ghost is of the devil. No joke. If I can come through that, through knowledge of the word, through good teaching, you can too. Just because you don't have all the answers, don't let that be a stop sign. Get the answers. Amen? Get into the word. Don't take my word for it. Get into the word of God and find out what God says about praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? But you need a fuel stop. You need a fuel stop, and that's going to come through spending time with God, through praying in our known language, in English or Spanish or whatever your first language is. Don't get lazy where all you do is pray in the Holy Ghost. You got to have a balance. So we pray and we spend time with the Word and we worship. That's a fuel stop. And you need a fuel stop along the road. Your marriage isn't going to make it unless you take a fuel stop. Your kids are not going to make it unless you take a fuel stop. You are not going to make it unless you take a fuel stop. How many believers are sitting on the side of the road out of gas? They're out of gas. And we're like, man, what happened to you? They didn't stop. They just were just going. It became more what was going on the outside than what's going on the inside. Listen, you can serve and you can be the best children's youth usher, greeter, pastor. You can look like the best. But if you don't have it going on the inside, you'll be on the side of the road soon. You need a fuel stop. Amen? Need a fuel stop. Next reason why we pull over is to rest. We just need a rest. We got a rest area. Have you seen those signs? You can't pass all those in life. I got a picture this is a rest stop. Sometimes you just got to pull over and you just got to say, man, we need to rest a little bit. That's my nephew Chris taking a rest. But when we see Jesus, when I got this message while I was on vacation, and when you see Jesus and you follow him through the New Testament, which is a great thing to do, if you've never done it, get your Bible out, get your notebook out, and say, Jesus, where are you going? And follow him as he journeys. And so one of the things about Jesus, he's always stopping. The Bible says, as he went here, this happened. As he went here, this happened. As he was going, this person came. And every time something good came. But Jesus also rested. The Bible says in John 4:3-8, out of the New Living, it says, so he left Judah and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Can we see that he's on a trip? And eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, listen, look at that, tired from the long walk. If Jesus got tired, how many know you're going to get tired too? I'm going to get tired. It says Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. And so when we see this, let's look at it and realize I've got to rest. You have to rest. You can't go 110 miles an hour all day, every day with no rest. You're going to be on the side of the road. You say, well, I got to get there. Listen, Jesus shows us that the journey, that the stops along the way are part of the journey. They're part of the journey. And we see here Jesus rested. He found himself, he was hungry. He was depleted. He sat down and his disciples went to get some food. He asked the Samaritan woman for water. We know the rest of the story about the Samaritan woman. But I want us to see here as Jesus got tired. And we live in a society now where it's not cool to be tired. It's not cool to rest. You know, and if you've said this to me, don't take this the wrong way, but I don't like it when people say, I know you're so busy. I know you're so busy. Listen, I'm never going to be too busy to do what God's called me to do. I don't want to be too busy for that. And you know what? You, this church, is my job. This is what God's placed me here. Not to be too busy for you, to be here for you. I'm not too busy for you. We can't get too busy for the important things in life. And Jesus rested. Why did he rest? The Bible says because he was tired. You're going to get tired. And when you get tired, you got to rest. I could teach for a month on the Sabbath, how important it is. God instituted a plan for life. You can work 6 days, but on the seventh, whatever your seventh is, you got to rest. You got to rest. And that doesn't mean you lay on the couch and do nothing all day, unless that's what you're going to do. But you do something different than what you do for work. You do something different. You know, like today is not my Sabbath day. Tomorrow is. And so tomorrow I'll work in the yard and, you know, I got flowers and things like that and I'm trying to keep them alive and I got things to do. It's work. you know, you gotta, you know, vacuum the house occasionally with four dogs, you know, things like that. But I'm not gonna work on church stuff. Why? Because it's my Sabbath day. And so you gotta find your day to rest, your time to rest. And again, it doesn't mean a lot of people that your Sabbath day is here serving the Lord. Because this isn't what you do in your regular job. This fuels you, inspires you. And so you're here doing that. You know, I like what Pastor Tim said. He said, if you work with your head through the week, work with your hands on your Sabbath. Because it's different. It's just different. If you work with people all during the week, get some alone time. Somebody say amen. Right? Somebody say. So the thing is that God put a plan in life for us. And it has rest in it. You got to take rest stops. You know, the thing about riding on a motorcycle is, just to be real about it, your butt gets sore. Because, you know, it's not a car seat. You know, you can't move around all over. You can't recline. You can't do that. And so you got to pull over. You got to stop occasionally. You just got to stretch your legs. You got to do like what Chris is doing. You just got to do something different to rest. And so in life, you know, you need some fuel stops. If you don't take time to pray, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. And a lot of times the things that are frustrating you right now, in prayer will be the answer. It's in prayer that you're going to find the answer. It's in that solitude time with God. I love this testimony. It's one of the most powerful things. I had been praying, and it was when we were over on Jog Road, and we were coming up. We were doing this big construction process, and we needed a solution of how to change the building. And so I had been praying about it as a team. We'd been praying about it. But then I put the prayer time in, and I don't have that background. That's not my background, obviously. I'm not a construction worker. I'm not an architect or anything like that. But I had put the prayer time in. And then one day when I was standing, I was blow drying my hair, which is kind of a process, you know? And so I'm blow drying my hair, but it's very mindless. So you're kind of checked out a little bit. And as I'm drying my hair, I'm just kind of meditating and thanking the Lord. I'm just, you know, about this project. And just like that, boom. It was like a download happened to me where I saw in my mind exactly what we needed to do. And so I got a piece of paper. I drew it out and I gave it to Pastor Mark and the team, and we gave it to the architect, and the architect was like, this is genius. I'm like, I couldn't take any credit for it because everybody knew it. One, I'm not a genius, you know? And two, I don't know anything about building anything. I can't even put together a bookshelf. You can ask my husband. It's not my thing. I always say I have other skills. Listen, you can't do something, just remind yourself you got other skills. Amen? And so it was what happened. I put the prayer time in, and something that had been frustrating and we couldn't seem to figure out and we needed a solution on, through prayer, Holy Ghost download. Amen? There's times in life where you're like, man, we gotta go. You gotta take a fuel stop. You gotta fuel yourself up in prayer. Fuel yourself up in the Word. Amen? And you gotta rest. There's times to rest. And then another reason why that we make a stop is to pick someone up or drop someone off. How many know, and this is a true statement, people you start the journey with are not always the ones you end with. They're not always the ones you end with. I remember when I started Bible college and they said, John, I don't know if they still do this. John's here. Look back there and say hello. Just finished his first year of Bible college. Woo! Awesome. But I remember in one of the first days of Bible college, they say, look to your right, look to your left, and realize half the people in this room will not finish with you. And you think, what? How can that be possible? And then they tell you that most people drop out Christmas break before graduation. And you're like, what? That can't possibly be true. But you know what? It is. It is. Because a lot of times the people you start the journey with are not the ones you end with. And sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for not so good reasons. But the thing is, who you're traveling with greatly affects your journey. Greatly affects your journey. And we've got to make sure that we got the right people traveling with us. I love in the Bible with the Apostle Paul, when he's traveling, and at one point, he had to tell Mark, you can't come. You can't come. Because something had happened. They didn't say what happened, but something had happened. And he said, you can't come. But then later on, he said, bring him, because he's of benefit. And so sometimes you just need a little break from some people. Maybe you got to give them a little time to grow, or give yourself some time to grow. You know, the Bible says that, talking about friends, it says in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. I got a picture of a group up here. My traveling companions. They look like a pretty rough bunch, don't they? But I tell you, those are great companions. Those are great companions. Here's how you know if you want to run with somebody, do they pray before they go? Do they pray before they go? I don't want to run with anybody that doesn't pray before they go. And so if you're asking, man, is this somebody I want to take a journey with? Check their prayer life. Check their prayer life. Because if you don't, you're going to be carrying them in prayer. And there's some journeys, man, the burden is too big. We need everybody praying, not just a few. Amen? And so when it comes to friends, I read this, I thought it was so good. There's four kinds of friends. You guys ready? There's friends who add. There's friends who subtract. There's friends who multiply. And there's friends who divide. There's friends who add to you. There are friends who subtract from you. There's friends who multiply. Man, when they're on the scene, it's like the story of the ox or the horse. One horse can pull a certain amount, and you would think two can pull double. But that's not true. Two can pull like four times what one can pull. Because there's power in unity. There's power in unity. And so there's friends who multiply, and then there's ones who divide. So sometimes on the road trip, you know, this isn't the first motorcycle trip we've taken. I remember years ago, this is before I was even married, before I even ever met Scott, we were on a trip and there was a large group of us. And there was a couple of people on the trip who were dividers, just complainers, just pain in the you know where, and just made the trip just so difficult. And you know what? It took away from the trip. And there are some people in our lives where, you know what? And listen, if you say, well, you're talking about my spouse. Listen, you can't drop them off, right? That's a lifelong journey. You need to evaluate and work some things out. Amen? You got to work some things out. But wouldn't it be better to work them out so the journey's better than to just keep going on a cruddy journey? Right? As the Holy Ghost can help that. And listen, don't pray, Lord, change them. No, the best prayer to pray for your marriage is, Lord, change me. Lord, change me, mold me, shape me to be the spouse they need. That's going to help a whole lot more than, Lord, change him and calling out. You know, I had people in my office one time, and the husband was like, I don't like praying with her. And I was like, why? And he said, because when she prays, all she does is talk about all the things I do wrong. She's like, Lord, change him, change his evil heart, change this, change his, you know, and I was like, well, I wouldn't want to pray with him either, you know, pray with her either. And so that's not a good way to pray. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is 1 Corinthians 15:33. It's helped me over the years. And it says, do not be misled. When the Bible says do not be misled, that means you can be. And it says, bad company, who knows the rest, corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. That's why, listen, single people, you can't be like, oh, I'm going to lead them to Jesus. Listen, that it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. You can't get hooked up with somebody who's not a believer. It's not going to work out the way you think it is. Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. It says, listen, be careful who's close to you. Be careful, because the people we allow close to us, if they have bad character, if they're bad company, that means that they live opposite of the things of the world. They are not supportive of your walk with Jesus. Then they need to have a certain place in your life. You can be friendly, you can be loving, you can be caring, but be the light to them. Don't let them dim yours. And people say, oh, I'm gonna lift them up to me. Nope, that never works. Doesn't matter how good of character you have. And people say, oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. I had somebody tell me the other day, I was meeting with them, they said these words to me, which I hate these words. You would think I would like them, but I don't. I hate them. She said this. She said, I wish I would have listened. Wish I would have listened to you. I wish I would have listened, but I thought I could change them. I thought I could handle them. I thought my faith was strong enough. Listen, God's got plans for our company. He's got guidelines for who we let close in our life, and we got to follow them. We can't think we're smarter than God. We can't think we can outdo what God says we cannot. We've got to say, listen, if you're going to be, the Bible calls it my company. Those are the people close to me that I let speak into my life. Those people, we need to be in agreement. And then as that goes out, I've got people in my life that I love dearly. I love them, but they don't walk with Jesus. I love them. I care about them. I spend time with them occasionally. But I don't say, hey man, I need some help. Can you help me with my marriage? Because I'm not going to let the world tell me how to live. Amen. And so there are certain times in our life where we gotta pull over and say, you know what? Let's adjust where you sit in the car on this road trip. Some people, you got somebody sitting in they're up front. They got shotgun in your life, but they need to be in the back. They don't need to be helping with directions. Did you get that? They don't need to be helping with directions because they don't know where they're going. They're looking at the wrong map. And we need to put them to the back. We still love them. We still care about them, and you can still come, but you can't sit up front. You can't be the closest person to my ear. That person needs to walk with Jesus. Amen. That person needs to sharpen me. And so sometimes we just need to pull over and say, you know what, let's switch. Everybody out of the car. All right, you're in the back. You can sit up front. We need to tell people, amen? You know what I'm talking about. And so when we think about this and the reasons why we stop and the reasons what we do, we've got to remember that there's just, in life, life's a journey. Life is a journey. And who's closest to us and who's riding with us and who's helping with the map, they're going to determine how fast we get where we're going, how healthy we are when we get there, and how much of a good ride it's been. I'm so thankful that on our trip, every morning we would pray. Every morning we pray together. Man, you need people you can pray with. You need people that you can sit and talk about scripture with. You need people that you can lay hands on each other when you don't feel well. Man, that's why in marriage, man, don't marry somebody that's not excited about Jesus. Because there is nothing more powerful than being with your spouse and saying, man, let's pray. We need it. And knowing they're going to be bold and confident with their prayer. Nothing like it. And then the last thing, a lot of times we need to stop because God's got something for us to do where we're at. Amen. Turn over to Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 21 through 34, we're going to close up here, talking about why we stop on the journey. There's reasons to stop. We need to stop for fuel. Man, you got to stop and get fueled up. We need to rest. We need to stop and rearrange some people in our lives. Amen? We need to stop for that. And we need to stop because God says stop. God says stop. Don't be in such a hurry to do the things of God, you miss the miracles that are along the way. Amen? Some of the greatest miracles I've ever experienced have been outside these doors. Outside these doors. You know, I always remember, and the Lord corrected me and told me I needed more of these. And the only reason I don't have more of them is because I haven't stepped out. I'll just be honest. But you know, I met a guy in Walgreens one time, and he had an injury. And I didn't know him. He didn't know me. He was an older Spanish gentleman. He barely spoke English. But man, the Holy Ghost just rose up in me and was like, pray for him. And so I said, can I pray for you? And I laid hands on him, and I've done it many times, but this is the one time that it was just like a tangible healing power of Jesus hit this guy and he got healed. And I laid hands on him and I began to pray, and the power of God went into him. And his eyes were wide, and he began to move his arm, and it was powerful. Wasn't here, wasn't in the church. I was on my way to get something in Walgreens and in a little bit of a hurry. Man, never be in too big of a hurry to stop when God says stop. Amen? I've been in lots of different places, and just the Lord just be like, pray for them, pray for them. One time I went to pray for a young girl, and she goes, I don't believe in God. And I said, I don't care, I do. I said, you let me pray for you, and the power of God will touch your life, and you'll know that he is real. I laid my hands on her. Her eyes got so big. My hand was so hot from the power of God. And she looked at me and she's like, what are you doing? Jesus. I said, it isn't me. It's the power of God. She walked away from there not saying she didn't believe in God anymore. See, it's along the journey that God will many times do the biggest things in your life. But you got to be able to stop. Amen. Stop and pray for the cashier as you feel led, you know, as you feel led. Stop and pray for the cashier at Publix, the server at 2J's, or wherever you are. There is power in that. A lot of times it's on your way somewhere that God wants to show up big time. And here in Mark chapter 5, we see Jesus. We learn so many lessons on how to journey with Jesus's journey. It says, now when Jesus is crossed over again by the boat to the other side. I don't have it up here because I told you last week, I want you to start reading your Bibles. Amen? You can't see the screen. You can't take this home. How many know you can't take that home with you? You got it. You need to either look it up old fashioned or look it up on your phone. Look it up somewhere. Because as you read, I told you this last week, it's so true. So often when I'm reading something, it's the verse to the right or the verse to the left or the one right after that's like, boom, that's what you need. And so that's why you can't take this home. Amen? It's ours. It's ours. It's all of ours. It's our church, but we use it here. Amen? And so here in Mark chapter 5, it says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him. How many can see Jesus on his way somewhere? He's on his way somewhere. And a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" I love this next line. And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." We see here, Jesus is on his way. Now, can you imagine Jairus? Jesus is on his way to heal his daughter, who is deathly sick. Can you imagine how many fathers do we have in here? You're a father. Your daughter is dying. She's dying. And Jesus is on his way, and some lady's holding up the show. You'd be like, "Come on." You'd be like, "Lady, I'm next, right? I'm next. Take your turn." But you know what I want us to see here is, if you'll take time for Jesus, he'll make sure what you need done gets done. He'll make sure what you need done gets done. There's times where you just got to stop and look at somebody, and you got to pray for them. You got to hug them. You got to tell them they matter. You got to tell them they look great that day. You got to notice that they got a new haircut. You got to make people feel like they got a place in your life. Amen? There's times you got to do that. Because if you're just in a hurry, you're going to miss the most important things. You're going to miss them. Don't be in a hurry. You know, if on our trip, all the beautiful scenery that we saw, it was so beautiful, if we never stopped and all we did was go by it at 80 miles an hour, wouldn't have been the same trip. Wouldn't have been the same trip. Listen, parents, don't be going through life 80 miles an hour and miss everything your kids are doing. I saw a thing the other day, and it said a lifeguard had had enough. She was a swim instructor. And she said, "I'm tired of seeing kids disappointed, because as soon as they swim, as soon as they do something in their lesson, they look up and their parents are on the phone." How sad is that? How sad is that? Let's not have our heads so buried in the phone that we don't see the person who needs prayer next to us. Amen? Because if you really think about what Facebook is, it's just watching other people's lives. And if all we do is watch other people's lives, we're going to forget to live ours. And there's people that need us to live our life. There's hurting people that need you to live your life of faith. There's sick people that need you to live your life. Because Jesus isn't walking down the street anymore like that. Jesus is walking down the street now in you and in me. So when somebody bumps into us, let's look around. Who touched me? Who needs who's in me? Amen? There's reasons to stop. We got to fuel up. We got to rest up. We got to rearrange the seats in the car. Amen? You got to rearrange who you got as your co-pilot. Make sure they meet the criteria. Amen? Make sure they meet it. And if you're married, that co-pilot's there to stay. Amen? You just need to make sure you're looking at the same map. And we need to make sure that we're stopping to do what God's called us to do. There's times to stop. There's times to stop. And so as we're closing out today, we're going to stop. We're going to take communion, because communion is also a time to stop, because the Bible tells us that communion is a time to remember. We need to remember how good God is. We need to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. We need to remember that we are not powerless, but the great I am lives on the inside of us. Amen? We need to remember Jesus and all he's done. And that's what communion is. It's a time to remember. And so as the ushers are passing out communion, we're just going to put a pause in the service. And we're going to take time to remember Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We're going to remember today that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul is talking about communion, we're going to remember verse 31, where it says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You know, everybody wants to talk about don't judge. But there is one person you're supposed to judge, yourself. We're supposed to judge ourselves. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. God gives us time to look at our own lives and examine our own hearts and to take care of anything in there that needs to be taken care of. We have hatred or bitterness or selfishness, covetousness, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to take care of it. But we're the ones that have to look. And the Bible tells us, it says, we're not to, it says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so before we take communion, let's just check ourselves. There's two things we want to do. Number one, communion is for believers. If you don't know what these represent, and if you don't say, yes, that is the blood of Jesus, it doesn't become that, but it represents it. This juice represents the blood that was spilt for us when Jesus died on the cross. The cracker represents his body being broken for ours. If you're not a believer, this is just juice and a cracker. But when you recognize Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's so much more because of what it represents. So we want to give everyone an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Yes to his love. Yes to his forgiveness. Yes to salvation in your life. And we want to all of us take an opportunity to do what the Word says, to examine our own hearts. Examine our own hearts so that we don't eat or drink of the cup unworthily, the Bible says. It doesn't mean I'm not worth anything. It just means, hey, take care of business before you receive communion. That's how holy this is. It's holy time. It's a good reason to hit pause and say, Lord, I want to take care of business. I wasn't walking in love towards that person. I was in doubt and worry and unbelief. I know that's not of you. Whatever it is, maybe you've gotten away from the Lord. And today you want to draw near to him. The Bible says when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. But Father, before we receive communion together, Lord, we take this opportunity today, first and foremost, to give anyone here the opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, everything changes. Everything changes. We get brought out of darkness into light. The Bible says that the Spirit of God himself dwells on the inside of us and makes us brand new creations in him. And our eternity is secure in heaven. All because we say yes to Jesus. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have it all straightened out. You just got to say yes. So if you're here today with every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute, and you say, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to say yes to him. I know there's someone missing in my life, missing in my heart. And I want to invite Jesus to come and fill my heart with his love. Oh, thank you. If that's you today with nobody looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. That's me. Thank you, Lord. Father, for the rest of us who are believers, Lord, we examine our own hearts. And for areas where we have missed the mark, we turn away, we repent, and we ask for forgiveness, knowing that your word says that you will give it to each and every one of us every time. That the blood of Jesus washes it away from us, and you give us a fresh, brand new start. And so, Lord, we examine our own hearts. Thank you, Lord. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, Paul writes, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's remember the Lord together today. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let's remember the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we remember today that you gave your life for us, that you loved us before we ever loved you. You loved us so much that you gave your life in a brutal death, all so that we could walk in forgiveness, walk with health, so that we could be saved, rescued, made whole by the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. We remember today that our God lives, that he is the great I am. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. It's good to take a rest. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering this morning.